Good morning, church. My name is Pastor Bill Alderson. I'm one of the pastors here at Highlands Community Church. And we're so glad to have all of you out there with us this morning as we gather together to share the gospel. Just to kick us off this week, we have a few announcements I want to walk through. Every Saturday, we send out a weekly newsletter to our congregation. And it has details about our Sunday service. It also has information about our foundations classes in that. And then it also has announcements. So if you're not receiving that, please send me or Pastor Jody a note or go to our website and fill out the subscription link. That way you can make sure that you're getting that weekly newsletter. Also, every Monday and every Friday, our church gathers together at 8 o'clock p.m. for a time of prayer. This is a wonderful rejuvenating time this week as a body. I personally love to hear the prayers of our people and the prayers of our children this time as we're socially distanced from one another, that we get to gather together in this way is such a gracious and beautiful gift from our Lord. So I invite all of you to join us in that. That link is on our newsletter. It's also on our website, highlandscc.com. Please visit that and check that out as well. And then Wednesday night, we hold a devotion time. Pastor Jody's been leading us in that devotion. And we also invite you to join that every Wednesday as well. This past week, all church members should have received an email from Right Now Media. And if you did not receive that, check your junk mail. And if you don't see it in your junk mail, contact me or Pastor Jody. And what this is it's a media service that provides literally hundreds of different types of biblical devotions, movies, documentaries. It's a wonderful resource for the body as you're resting in place right now, to give you some fruitful stuff to watch. So if you did not get that email, please reach out to one of us, and we'll make sure that we get you set up with that information. Also, for this upcoming Easter Sunday, we are going to be printing out content for all of our families who have kids for this and some of the upcoming sermon series for our foundations classes. Our goal is to have these packets ready for you to pick up by this upcoming Friday. We know that many of you don't have printers at home, or you're probably getting low on ink, or don't have ink at this point. So contact us. We're going to have those set up by name for you to come and drop by the church and pick up in a socially isolated kind of way. You can come in. Pastor Jody will have a packet ready for you. You can walk up, grab that, and have all of our printed materials ready for you. So we just want to make sure that you've got the resources available to help our kids be engaged on Sunday mornings. And then watch this week for an email. Pastor Jody and I will be sending out a communication on just the state of the church and what to watch for over the next few weeks. So let's take this time now to pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to get together, even virtually, Father, to hear your word preached. We thank you, Father, that as a body, Lord, we're able to maintain this connection through this technology, Lord. So just thank you for the blessing that you've provided to us in this. Father, clear our minds this morning of earthly concerns, Lord, as we prepare to worship you, Father, to sing songs in your praise, Lord, to receive the gospel, Father. Help us, Lord, to be quiet and to be still, Father. Help us to receive your word, Lord. Let us listen to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And Father, we thank you for Jesus, Lord, that his act on the cross, Father, has brought us into a relationship with you, Lord, that is unlike anything, Father, that we could ever imagine. Lord, in his name we pray, amen. I'd like to read to us this morning from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Father, we know that times are uncertain, Lord, and we know that there are days, Father, that in our hearts we have fear or trepidation, Father, or questions. We thank you, Father, for this reminder, Lord, that you, Father, you are in control. You, Father, are mighty, and you, Father, have this, Lord. Let us take this time, Father, as a people to be still, Father, as the verse says, to be still and know that you are God. Let us take those quiet moments, Father, and be thankful to you, Lord, to praise you, Father, in song, to praise you, Father, in our actions. Let us be still, Father, in those moments with our family and have gratitude and joy in our hearts, Lord, for that time together. Let us be still, Father, and see around us your hand at work. But I thank you, Father, as we sing songs of praise to you, Father. Let us turn up our troubles, Father. Let us turn up our anxieties. Let us give these things away, Father, so that we might rest fully in you. Father God, we thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Dream. mercy is more. It's stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Good morning, everybody out there. Morning, Highlands. And if you're visiting today, good morning to you too. My name is Pastor Jody May. Get to be the lead teaching pastor here at Highlands, and we just want to welcome you. Many of you have already commented on the wall behind me. That's always been that color. You just haven't been here in a while, so, right? I don't know what you're talking about. But welcome through video, and, you know, great things. Like, I get to wear a tie, but you didn't even know that I'm wearing a pair of shorts today. Bill vouched for me, okay? So that's kind of cool. Things you could do when you can't be here, right? So if you have your Bibles, I want to welcome you to turn your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2. And we're going to be continuing in our series called When Faith Gets Real. We're going to start today in verse 6. But in a moment, let me just introduce you to what's been going on. We've been working through this small prophetic book, and it's been a great study because it's very applicable for what we're going through today. You're going to find in a moment, I'm going to read a section of Scripture that when I read it this week, figured out I had to preach on it this week, it was kind of hard for me to do because it's a series of woes, or what we call taunts, to a foreign power, right? And in that, there is a foreign power, the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians are going to come in against Jerusalem, take it over, distribute them to the four winds, but in that, God will use that which was evil to work good, right? Now, maybe today you're kind of, well, how does that apply to our life? Well, just so you know that what we're dealing with in this current pandemic was brought to us by, or led to us by, a foreign government that tried to hide it, that tried to disguise it, wouldn't allow others to help, and wouldn't really tell people what's going on with it. And this government is responsible for this. So I know a lot of times we feel like we can blame somebody for this. We want to blame our current government. And if you can't blame somebody, you know what happens a lot of times? Is we'll pick the things that we're angry at the moment and we'll blame them. Or we'll take it out of them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have somebody that you can look at. And this government has been harsh against its own people. So we pray for that land. We pray for the church that is there in China. And we pray that the gospel explodes and that God uses what has been a bad thing for everybody to promote His will and His glory, right? So with that in mind, but also as well, I also want to let you know there's lots of good things to be heard out there this week. I've been enjoying my studies in Habakkuk. I recently purchased something from Tim Keller, studying Habakkuk. My old pastor, Craig Rochelle, had a good teaching on Habakkuk that brought a lot of knowledge to this for me. As well, I want to give props to an old comrade of mine, Mark Driscoll, who did a series on Habakkuk. It's been very influential. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you. Thank you for preaching to me this week through it and calling me stupid. That's just a joke. If you know Mark Driscoll, you know what I mean by that, okay? But without further ado, this morning, let's jump back into our story of Habakkuk, beginning in chapter 2. Begin reading in verse 6 this morning. Would you join me this morning in reading God's word? So not all these take up their taunt against him with scoffing and riddles for him and say, here begins the taunts, woe to him who heaps up what is not his own, for how long, and loads himself with pledges. Will not your debtors suddenly arise, and those who wake who will make you tremble? Then you will be spoil for them, because you have plundered many nations. All the remnant of the people shall plunder you, for the blood of man and violence to the earth, to cities and to all who dwell in them. Woe to you, to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be safe from the reach of harm. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples. You have
forfeited your life, for the stone will cry out from the wall and the beam from the woodwork respond. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Behold, it is not from the Lord of hosts that peoples labor merely for fire and nations weary themselves for nothing. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who makes his neighbors drink. You pour out your wrath and make them drunk in order to gaze at their nakedness. You will have your fill of shame instead of glory. Drink yourself and show your uncircumcision. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter shame will come upon your glory. The violence done in Lebanon will overwhelm you, as will the destruction of the beasts that terrify them, for the blood of men and violence to the earth, to the cities and all who dwell in them. Woe, what profit is an idol when its maker has shaped it? A metal image, a teacher of lies, for its maker trusts in his own creation when he makes speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a wooden thing, awake, to a silent stone, arise. Can this teach? And behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. This is God's infallible, all the time word. Let us pray and thank him for it. Father, we thank you for your word today. Dear Lord, in these series of woes, what we call taunts back in the Old Testament, dear Lord, we saw Jesus do this in Luke to the Pharisees and to the scribes. A series of curses is a series of sayings that know that you will be victorious in the end. Habakkuk is seeing a future that his people cannot see. He is putting his hope in something that is not there yet. So he's basing all this in something that he knows about you. So Lord Jesus, so that we can gain a perspective, as Habakkuk has, so that we may not put our hope in what we see right now, but we can live praising you, worshiping you, and taunting the devil with the hope that is found in the future. That is faith getting real, to believe that you will be victorious and then to live as you believe it, as if you did. So Lord, help us today. Come, open up our eyes to your word, our ears so we may hear, so that we may leave here changed this morning. For we love you, and we pray that in Jesus' name. And all God's people out there said what? Amen. So, over the last 2 weeks, Habakkuk, right? He received an oracle from God. That's a heavy, weighted saying that he has to preach, all right? We started that 2 weeks ago in chapter 1. On the heels of losing their last great king, Josiah, Habakkuk has to explain to everybody as he's looking all around him. Violence is everywhere amongst his own people, amongst the invading tribes from Babylonia, that this is going downhill quick. And in this, he gives a word, and he has to speak to his people about how God is using the Babylonian Empire. God was allowing some of the worst type of people to commence with judgment on his own people. He questioned God, and God answered rightly. He said, Habakkuk, I don't know if you remember this a couple weeks ago, if I was to tell you, you wouldn't even understand right now, right? This is all unforeseen, but through this, I'm going to work everything to bring about my glory, to bring my son, to bring in the kingdom of God, so that all may glorify me and your joy may be made full. You didn't know that, Habakkuk. And we saw in that first encounter in chapter 1 that he took in some hard truth. This is going to happen and you can't stop it. We're going to go through this together. And it made him trust God instead of run away from him. He clung to his God, for there was no other where to go, right? He learned that hard truth. And he also learned how to lament, how to grieve for this. Because if we don't lament, we all learn that how are we to help people if we can never get over the fact that God will let things happen to his people. But he will work them, as we just said, to his good. So in that, though, we went through that last week. And this next encounter, we saw how he responded with patience. Remember that? What could he do? He got on this watchtower. He looked out. He got obedient. He gained some perspective, right? And he committed to being obedient in his call as a prophet to his people. He didn't run. He didn't turn tail, right? And we've discovered that patience like this can bring joy when we learn to wait upon the Lord, no matter what he calls us to go through or to endure. So we were reminded of how Jesus has waited on us. Remember that last week? If we will wait on him, the master will return. He will gird himself up and he will wait on those that have been living by faith. For the righteous shall live by their faith. And that was the main text, chapter 2, verse 4. And if you'll go forward, that is the main text for all of this series, right? You should circle that in your Bible. It's emphasized in the New Testament. The righteous shall live by faith. And so we come to this weird part in the story, though. Because Habakkuk, he's done the moral, the right, the gospel-centered thing now, and he begins to respond. He has done some great work. He has shown us how to be, and now as a God follower, believing in God for his salvation, he begins to respond to the circumstances in front of him, which is what you and I are called to do when we believe in God. It's not just believe and be quiet and hide, even though we're all hiding in our homes right now. We are called to respond, to worship God, still even in the midst of trials and tribulations. So he begins to let the Babylonians know from afar just what he thinks about them before they ever arrive. Now that is guts. Before they ever come, he lets them know, I know you're coming, but you know that you don't win in the end. I wonder if this is what Habakkuk said. Maybe he was in Jerusalem getting killed, and this was his last words. Or maybe he made it to Babylon. They took him back, and these were the last things he was telling everybody before he died. You know they're not going to win. That's brave talk. You can see Habakkuk is literally having to live by faith in something he does not see yet. He knows what's going to happen. He's declaring their doom, that justice will come for them. He's looking past what will happen to the end when they'll get theirs. He knows something that everybody else doesn't know. His hope is in something that he cannot see, which according to Hebrews, that is the definition of having faith. Belief and hope, believing it will happen, you just can't see it yet. And that is how you and I are called to live, especially in these times. Especially right now. So I got to tell you, though, when I read this week, when he's just giving, blasting the Babylonians, telling them, you're not going to get away with this, right? I found myself very envious of Habakkuk. Because I really want to be like that. Like, no matter come what may, I want to be the guy who just goes, right? I want to taunt. I don't want to be fake with you, family, because I love you, but I don't know if I have what it took this morning to come up here and just say, well, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, or to say, well, you know, just trust God because he's sovereign over all things. Let's go get it. Because inside of me this week, I wasn't feeling it. You ever have that issue? It's kind of like you know how you should be responding to God. You know how you should be taking this. But your heart is always 10 feet behind you. Have you ever experienced that? And see, that's a problem with Christian faith. Because the world, you know what the world teaches? Let your heart go first. Well, you just got to do what you feel, right? But very rarely does a heart ever think right. It's the mind that God changes to understand him, and then the mind leads us and the heart will follow. So this week, maybe you've encountered this, as we're seeing the numbers of cases of this pandemic go up, the number of death, not just cross country, but in our state, as you all are hearing names that you know, right, are being affected by this, and job loss and what it's doing to the markets, all the interactions, right, of that, and wondering how this is going to pan out. Even though you know who's going to win in the end, where is your heart? I was going through that this week. And I, in reading this, is going, well, how am I going to preach this to God's people? So I wasn't feeling it yet, even though I knew. So it seems Hab is full of emotion and worship here. This is worship when he tells them. He declares to them what God is going to do, and you won't win. That's worshiping God. All of life is worship, and how he responds to people in front of his own and to this nation far away, that is worship. It's different than what we're used to, right? We sing songs about what Jesus has done. His mercy is more. We've seen the effects of God's mercy. Here's the deal. He's giving praise and taunting Babylonians, knowing God will do something, but has no clue to who it's coming from. He doesn't know. Why don't we act like this? We know. We've seen Jesus. We've read what he's done. Why don't we believe it? Where's our heart this morning? That is faith. Putting your hope in something you can't see yet. This victory that's coming. So this reminds me of a few years ago when most of you know that my parents have passed away over 16 years ago. You know that they died at the same time. What you're not aware of is that for 2 months, I watched them both dying. One was in hospice away. One was in hospice at home. And I watched my mother and my father waste away in two different places. At the same time, I had a family. I was the only one working, I believe, at home at the time. So I was supporting a family, dealing with my mother and father's death, dealing with their estate, and while I watched the world race around me, I felt very alone in that. In this past week, when we were told that this is not even going to hit its peak for a few weeks, I started having those feelings again, like this is not a short boom when something tragic happens and you immediately deal with the consequences. This is an ongoing building of a thing. Some of you may have gone through that. A lot of you haven't. This reminds me of this time. And that's where my heart was going. I'll know he'll get me through this. I know God is good for this. It's hard to make my heart follow what I know. Even when you've lived through that. So during this time with you, I want to recognize this. Bad things happen, right? We're not going to escape that. That's the reality. We're in just as much peril as the rest of the world. But the question is this morning, is will our actions show what we believe? Will our actions show that we believe like the rest of the world? Or will it show that we are people of faith? For the righteous shall live by faith. So my prayer is that we'll understand that when faith gets real, our faith responds with praise even in the midst of anguish. That's real faith. When we can do that. When we can look back at the world saying, you know what you've got coming. I will put my hope in the Lord God Almighty. And that's where it's at. And we all need a good dose of that, don't we? So perhaps if we can realize that today, maybe our hearts can start catching up with our minds wherever it's going and stop dragging its feet, right? And instead of being there behind us for the next 2 months, perhaps we can learn to rejoice in the hope that we have not seen yet, who is God working all things to his good. So now, to do this though, as I was looking at this week, we need to go back and we need to look again and discover how did Habakkuk develop this heart where his mind was believing, he brought his heart along, and he's responding in that moment, even in the midst of trial and anguish. How did he declare back to the world, to his people, and to God, his worship? How did he do that? So we're going to have to do this morning. We're going to have to squeeze a little bit more gospel juice. You like that? We're going to squeeze a little bit more gospel out of chapter 1 and look again a little bit and see how did Habakkuk get to this point. So here's point number 1, if you're taking notes this morning. I know Bill already sent those to you this morning. We got 5 points this morning. I promise you it won't be any longer than normally. Don't hold me to it. Okay, here's 1, all right? Take to God your questions, not your accusations. Take to God your questions, not your accusations. This is how I think that Hab finally landed here. Now, when I say Hab, Brian Haberly, I'm not talking to you. This is Habakkuk. Okay, I just want you to know. Okay, all right. So I call Brian that, so just so you guys know. All right, so looking back at Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. Statement, I believe that, right? O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. Why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? Week one, we said you got to ask two questions. Why and how long? It's okay to ask those questions. I think I said it. I said it to myself. And I think I question that. Like, I still don't always feel right about questioning God about why these things happen. Do you feel the same way? Verse 12, are you not everlasting? Don't you get all this? Are you not above all? Verse 13, why do you look at traitors and do nothing? These are real heartfelt questions. There is desperation in Habakkuk's voice. Why? These are the questions of not understanding, but they're not the cries of, well, this is not fair. You don't hear that. These are not the cries of, but I'm innocent. You don't hear that. Habakkuk understands where he stands with God. Questions, and I mean the type of, maybe you've had some of these today. Let me. How does this come out of you lately? Why, Lord, does this have to happen now? Like there would have been a better time last week, maybe? Like 2 years from now would have really been a better time. But we ask that question, don't we? Why does this have to happen now? I'm worried about my loved ones. I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my elderly parents, my own life. I'm in charge of people that are depending on me. I got to make paycheck. I got to make payroll, right? I can't handle this pressure. You ever feel like that lately? Why did this happen like this when everyone is concerned about their outcomes? Listen, here's a reality. Why does it happen to everybody one time? Because a lot of us, right, we know when we go through hard times, we have friends that we can call on. Friends that can talk us down off the ledge, as we say, right? Who will do us a good gospel slap every once in a while. Says, get a hold of yourselves, right? Here's what happens right now. Everybody is going through the same thing right now. You've got nowhere to turn to but what? Now, you can share. I can lament with my people. But I can't depend on them, can I? There's only one place you can go. Because everybody's going through the same thing. Well, I can't answer, though, all those questions this morning, like the whys. That's not my job. Here's what I am learning from Habakkuk. Now, here's the first one. First, number one, is, and this is not on your notes, so you need to write this down, okay? Gee, I'm counting on you. Write this down and give this back to your dad later, all right? First, number one, you will not surprise God, all right? You will not surprise God with your questions and emotions. You are not going to surprise God with your questions and emotions. God never flinches when you curse under your breath. Did you know that? How many of y'all did that lately?
Heather.
Okay, so when you punch a wall out of anger, right? When you throw something across the room or you issue a death threat in traffic, that never happens. It never takes God off guard. You don't make him get up out of his chair and like, what? What'd you just say? That doesn't happen. Remember we learned in Luke 11 that God knows all the intentions of your heart and all the unforeseen and things that are said in secret, right? So that he can rightly judge every human being. Your response to difficulty is not going to surprise him. Just to remind you, here's this verse again from Luke 12. Luke 12, 2-3. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you've whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. That's just to remind us all. God is not surprised by what you do in secret. He's definitely not surprised when you have emotions. That doesn't throw him for a loop. I also know this, that you're not going to get a quicker answer by trying to bait and accuse God or try to get him to emotionally respond to you. God doesn't care if you throw a temper tantrum, and he doesn't care what you call him, although you shouldn't call him anything. It doesn't get him to answer you quicker. Job learned this. I wonder if Job, instead of being this giant long book, could have been five chapters if he would have stopped telling God that he was innocent and everything. Do we actually believe with our limited foresight? Here's what, when we accuse God, here's what that means. That we believe, according to what we can see, that we can make better decisions than God. That's what you're doing when you accuse him. God, I know better. I think I would have worked this a little bit different than you would have. Well, you must think that you can see all things like God can. You see, when I say it, it sounds foolish, doesn't it, right? It sounds foolish when we say it. But despair makes insane thoughts seem sane, okay? That's why it's dangerous to always, what? Do what you feel. Because when you're in despair, it makes crazy things seem like the right things to do. Transformed your mind daily. So now, this is where I think we can get a little bit more of the story of Hab. We're going to squeeze a little bit more gospel juice out of this, right? If we squeeze a little bit more of chapter 1, Hab doesn't try to answer for God. He doesn't try to say, you guys don't understand, here's what's going on. He doesn't explain it outright. But while he's talking, he remembers who he's talking about. So this brings us to our second point this morning. When we're having issues, responding to God rightly, even in the midst of trials, here's the second one this morning, is that we have to remember God's character. Remember his character. Character, that which makes you who you are. Those things that have been seen over a long period of time and they don't change. God is the oldest being in the universe. Time doesn't even quantify him. He's not changed for ages. Remember, he's never changed. Therefore, what you see in the Bible, you can trust it to always be the same. And if you can't trust him, you got nobody you can trust. So what are the things that he saw? Looking back, I just want to go through these quickly with you so that you can see them, I can see them, that we can rejoice in them again, and we can move on, all right? Number one is he's eternal. He's everlasting in verse 12 there. It says he has that means this, that he has no beginning and no end. That means he's infinite and we are finite. You and I are finite. That's why we don't know what's better, right? We lack understanding. He has all understanding. Someone, not us, saw the beginning of time because he was there before time. He caused it to happen. He is the causation of all of creation. He started it and he sees the end because he's already there. That's eternal. That's his character. You have that going for you? We put our trust in him. He's sovereign. Verse 12, you establish them for our correction. Even though they are meaning our destruction, God, you allowed it, and you're going to use it for the good of the world. This is sovereignty. He rules over all because he's eternal, because he's the creator, not the created thing. It means he rules over all things. Yes, even evil things, because all things were created good in the beginning until man decided to rebel and cause the fall. That was man's choice. But man's rebellion did not deliver man out of God's hands. It did. The rebellion did not take man away from God. God is still in control of man, and therefore he'll use it for bad or for good. He'll still use it for his will. I heard it explained this way one time. As we go through life, we are sailing from one point in time to the other point in time, all of humanity on this ship. Guess who's the captain of the ship? The Lord Jesus, right? And anything can happen on that ship. Whatever we want to do, right? But in that, it is Jesus' will to get us from point A to point B. We can either work with him or we can work against him, but that is his call because he is sovereign. And we're all going to make it to the other side. It's his rule. That's his character. We got to remember that. Personal. Verse 12. Habakkuk says, my Holy One. This is affectionate talk. This is covenant talk. For a Hebrew, this is, he is my God, right? And we are your people. That goes all the way back to the beginning of the Mosaic Covenant, right? This is what this means for you and I, if you believe in this, right? We are not a science experiment. We're not in a petri dish for God. God didn't just create us and leave us alone like our founding fathers thought. That is not how this works. He is a personal God because God is most glorified when a people relate to him and other nations see how God responds to a people. So it can't be that way. The Bible doesn't even tell us that. He is a personal God. That is his character. That is whom we're dealing with. He's also holy. Verse 12 and verse 13, he's pure eyes. He is set apart by his righteousness, his goodness. He is otherworldly. It is alien-like to us because we don't understand it. He's so separate from us in his behavior and his character. For he is not fallen, he is not tainted, and he can never be tainted, swayed, or seduced by man like other gods. That's your God. And it never changes. He is also foreknowing. In verse 12, it says that he ordained and established. God, you knew what we will do back then. Habakkuk is saying, you knew that the Babylonians would come for us. You know that we won't die, this last remnant of God-fearers and people who believe in you. And so you know how to preserve the remnant. You understand already how to do that. You have seen all the outcomes, and therefore the one you pick is the perfect one to do what must be done. Did you get that? If God knows everything and he knows all outcomes, the one he picks according to his character has to be the perfect one, even though it's the one you don't like. Imagine what it would be like if he wasn't picking. You know what God's ultimate goal is? Unite all things in Christ while receiving glory for it alone. This is his character. Habakkuk knows this, right? So here comes the issue that we fight against, right? Essentially, in a time of hardship, not just COVID-19, right? Listen to me now, listen. When a spouse has an affair, when a child rebels and runs from their upbringing, when a friend betrays your trust, whom you thought would never happen, when your job cuts you and you're more productive than the boss and he gets the money, when you can't seem to keep a relationship to save your life, when it seems like you can't ever catch a break, when all that happens day in and day out in our lives, if we do not remember all that God is, his character that's been there forever and will not change, we will not question him, but we will accuse him. We will not run to him, we'll run away from him if you don't hold on to that. And that's by your own doing, not his. The righteous shall live by faith in the God of the Bible, not the God of our own choosing and making in our minds. That is faith getting real. For many of the church, we have made God out not to be a loving father, though, that graciously gives, but a warden in a prison that rewards for good behavior that can get us parole if we catch his attention. We rather think of God that way, and you're living in your own hell because of it. Habakkuk still clung to God, even when he recognized that we were like fish, verse 14. That we could fight against him, but it's all to no avail. God will do what he wants. But have rest, though. He rests in the character of God and knows that in his future, if it means his death, it does not mean that God does not care for him. He knows this, no matter what comes, and that God's intentions were not to do harm just for the sake of harm. No, because God is personal and knows Habakkuk as his own child. This is truth. And this is how he looks at his people today. Then if I remember these things about God, then waiting on the Lord, being patient, is not just about being stoic and I'll just take whatever he throws at me because he's unfair. No, it's not unfair. That's not what waiting on the Lord is about. No, because of one of the cool things about God is that he is personal. He's not interested in treating us like we're just a scientific experiment. No, but he wants a relationship with us, as I said before. So he uses these tough times for us to seek him. Again, let me ask this question I've asked before. Are you stewarding well this time at home with your family seeking God? Stewarding builds hope because you're putting faith in that which you cannot see. You're using all your time, your resources, and all that God has given you, doing that because you're hoping in what you cannot see. Are you stewarding well that time to build this relationship with your God? Or are you still complaining about him? He has preordained this time to meet with you. God doesn't look at COVID-19 like it's a surprise. If he has all foreknowledge and he preordains and he's sovereign, then what he does is at the same time with the COVID-19, because it's just as important with him, is time to meet with you. God has moved heaven and hell so that he can meet with you, so that you can know that he is your Father that cares. Is it that important to you? That's the reality. He is waiting to talk with you, counsel with you, hear your frustrations. You're not going to surprise him because he's a personal God. He is your Father, Jesus taught us, Abba. That brings us to our third one this morning. What is the third thing that Habakkuk learned and did that we're going to squeeze a little bit more, look at it again, in order to be able to taunt the enemy before they ever came? Here's the third one we're talking about. It's waiting. We learned about that last week. Waiting, and that was waiting to meet with God. Being patient also means to meet with God. Not just wait for your doom, it's to meet with God. What greater joy is there than to believe that as part of his overall plan for you and I existing right now at this moment is that the God of the universe wants to deepen his relationship with you? What should drive us? That. He glorifies himself by deepening and developing his relationship with you because that's what he wants to show the world. This is the most important opportunity we may ever have for right now for you to know your God like this. He has taken out all these distractions out of your life so that you can get to know him. Last week, do you remember when we talked about waiting, when Hab went high to get some perspective on that watchtower? Here are these verses again. We're going to squeeze out of a little bit more. Habakkuk 2:1. It says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower. That's his duty, right? And look out to see what he will say to me. Uh-oh, relationship. And what I will answer concerning my complaint, talking back and forth. While he was learning to be patient and not abandon his post, look at what else Hab was gaining from his perspective. He's looking out to see what he's going to say to me, and I will answer concerning my complaint. I know the truth now. Now I'm going to give myself back this truth, right? Hab, in solitary confinement, by himself, waited on high so that he can get this perspective, so that he could hear from God and to escape all the noise of the city that was either being violent, intent on their own self-interest, or worried about the Babylonians coming. He got up high so that he could gain this perspective and hear from God. A lot of us right now, let me just be lovingly truthful with us. I know I've been kind of prophetic a little bit this morning. Let me just keep on that roll, right? Let me speak to us this morning because I found myself here this week. I always preach to myself. I'm not just preach it down anybody, right? But a lot of us will not reach out to our Bibles in the quiet of the morning. Now, I'm not speaking to those of you who read the Bible at night. That's your chosen time. Good. Keep doing that. But a lot of us, first thing in the morning, will not reach for God's word. Our first move is to our phone for social media or for a news source so that we can identify with somebody else, so that we can gain somebody else's perspective instead of our own, getting alone with God, and so we can put that as top of our list for that day because we don't have an identity of our own built on God. I've done that this week. It's as if we want our day to start with someone else's motives and opinions, perhaps because we lack our own. We lack depth because we're not connected to our maker. God is interested in your relationship and is willing to put a good spin on your day rather than you resenting him for not making it look like all those that you're seeing. If you have despaired this past week, that is your clue that you need a break, that you need to get away, and you need to seek God. Now, I know you can't leave home, a lot of you. Find the corner of your yard and tell everybody, keep away until you're ready to come out of timeout. That's your watchtower. Listen, Heather and I laughed about this because we heard Driscoll yell at us this week. The people in our homes get tired of being lightning rods, sucking up all the emotional energy out of us. They have a limit to how much they can help you. Number one, right? They weren't made for all of that. You know who is? The Lord. You were made to take all that to Him. That is the beginning of the relationship. Your spouse can't do that for you. Your best friend can't do that for you. Your parents can't do that for you. It is God alone who's going to answer those questions. You better learn how to do it. Because you'll drive yourself and them crazy, and then you're trying to, yeah, okay, so you know where that's going, right? So that takes, though, space to get away, and you got to be intentional about it. Intentionality. Space and intentionality. Are you willing at least to put that much effort, maybe just 1 week, to see what it takes you for the most important relationship and time in your life? And that brings us to our fourth thing today. So, Habakkuk, he took his questions to God. He remembered his character, who he is. He did not change. He knows that God wants a relationship. He got away. He reinforced that. And now we see part four is that we respond with worship. And with a little taunting. A little taunting. Telling people, you're not going to get away with this. You know that. Habakkuk has done a great job of letting us see how he's ready right now at this point in this next section of scripture. Even perhaps at the end of his life, he's worshiping God and he's taunting the enemy. I want to go out like that, praising God and telling them to kiss my foot. All the way down. He has questioned, not accused, because he remembers God's character and he spent time gaining that right perspective. Now he's ready to respond. So let me open up his responses a little bit now, just to take about 5 minutes to go through his responses to see he was putting his hope in the Lord, because that is your hope as well, ladies and gentlemen. This is how we all should be responding. The first one. Woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. Let me just paraphrase all of that, because there's so much in it. Each one is a sermon, right? So let me just quickly give you the gist of that. That's stealing, which never satisfies, because stealing comes from greed. Greed can't be conquered without God. This is the world. Greed leads people to taking what they've stolen and using it to amass debt, because once you start down that road, you're never satisfied. Scripture here says that the remnant of the people, right, that is God's people, will get what they took by force that was not theirs to have. They will get back what was taken from them. In the end, folks, when God comes a-calling, when Jesus returns, he claims all because all is his, and what is ours. It doesn't matter if and when it was taken from you, because not only do you get it back, but you get more. The only thing that the wicked have done is they've raked it all into one spot for God to get easy. That is why Scripture, like in Luke 16, teaches that those who steward well will be given more. You've been shown to be faithful with a little. God's got more. God will give what they obtained by violence to you through the sweat of their brow, all for his people. That is a taunt, right? It gets better, right? Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, so that his nest is on high to be safe from reach of harm. That's all this security that people spend a lot of time and effort on securing their assets, right? Attorneys, trust, business assets, diversified accounts. Those who were great at saving but were horrible understanding why they were good savers, which is to help others out. That's this woe. Babylon spent a lot of time procuring their safety, and they lost everything in the end to the Greeks. You already saw that coming. Remember that dude from Luke that built the larger barns? What happened to him? God took it all in one night. When God comes, it doesn't matter where you have your fortune, because Jesus resets all the money values, because it's all based on his worth, not the world's. Where is your treasure this morning? Or what's in your what? Wallet. So woe to him who builds his town with blood and founds a city on iniquity and sin. People, here's what this says shortly, people that develop culture with no thought about what type of effect that will have on the world, like a wet market in China, they develop because they can, just because it makes money, just because it gives them power. Here's the deal. God will reclaim all of this, and as Adam was directed in the beginning to have dominion, God will now take control and influence culture fully when he comes back. That will be his dominion that he'll give back to us. Woe to him who makes his neighbors drink. Somebody said, uh-oh. Probably not the way you think it is, right? Those that revel, here's what this is talking about, in making the world immoral, eat, drink, be merry, and getting others to do that, right? Friedrich Nietzsche, right? That lift up the pursuit of pleasure as the absolute best thing, there is a false god here to serve. But when God returns, you'll finally get your fill of shame. The scripture says that. You'll finally feel shame for what you've done because you'll now see God's holiness for who he is. Those that majored in this lifestyle will see the most foolish to all and will know it and will lose in its appeal. They'll be left with something that cannot satisfy when they see God finally. Woe to him who says to a wooden thing, awake. Now, what's that? Is that Pinocchio? No, this is bigger than that, right? Those who make the created thing a god and give it absolute power. Those that have come to believe that science is the new religion, that the proof of man's godhood is in his cleverness, right? The machines that he creates, like people have never watched Terminator and know that goes bad. We all need to wake up, right? And the knowledge he has gained will all show to prove God's existence. So here's the deal. Everything that we have made, every formula that we've procured proves God's existence. It proves his intelligent design. Therefore, learned knowledge is merely revealed knowledge of God. And he'll prove it. So I can see now where Habakkuk was going. Can you? He knows this based on God's character, his relationship with him, his time spent with him. He knows about the prophecies that were given before him about he who would come. And that's where this gets really interesting. I can see where he's going now. But there's one more element here that I think brings this home where we all can worship and we all get to taunt a little. And what I mean by taunt, you're not going to get on Facebook and go, duh, duh, duh. I mean, when you pray, understand this. Believe it and treasure it. Here's the fifth one, is this, that we all have to do when times get rough, is remember to let God have the last word. It's not yours. Sometimes you got to shut up. Excuse me, kids, but we got to do that sometimes and let God have the last word. Verse 20, Habakkuk says this. He says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Habakkuk says, shh, shh, shh. God says, I get the final word. There's people that always want to accuse him. People that always think they know better. The whole world is filled with people who are lost, that do not want God, that think they know better, that have disillusioned themselves. And God says, I'm going to get the final word. Habakkuk didn't know what I know now. And he didn't see who would come. But we have. And we have even more to taunt with now. In the book of Hebrews, the author, which we're not sure of, he must love Habakkuk because he builds a lot of what he's written around Habakkuk and what he says. In Hebrews 1, listen to this. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers. That means our predecessors, our ancestors, by the prophets, like Habakkuk. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he appointed the heir of all things, to gain all that God has. Through him also he created the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the radiance of the glory of God. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, Jesus said. And the exact imprint of his nature, his character. God, Jesus right now, has all the same traits as what we read earlier. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He is eternal. He never had a beginning, and he'll never have an end. After making purification for sins, he sat down and he reigned at the majesty on high. Here's what happens, guys. When we look at these woes now, they start making more sense because we're seeing things that Habakkuk did not see. Jesus came as king into the world. He was christened by his father at his baptism. Behold, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. The Spirit of God came and ascended on him, said, this is whom I am approved of. This is who he is. Listen to him, to the disciples. Jesus stated why he came into the world, that all men might be saved through him. For there is only one way, through the messianic king, that is David, that is his line, that is Jesus' throne. And the world rejected him and they murdered him to keep what they got by violence. Jesus came because his servants did not share or steward rightly, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. So he took back his flock from his servants and they planned his death and killed him for it. Jesus came to his own royal city, to his home this last week as you think about Holy Week, and he walks into the temple and begins to clean it up. The Pharisees and the scribes and the high priest hated him for him and they planned his murder on Passover week. Jesus came and lived with sinners. Just in case you thought you were off the hook. He was born of a virgin and he died a virgin. Did not know that. To show the rightful place for physical pleasures. And you know what happened? The people still call for Barabbas. Jesus came and stood before Pilate, that represented Rome, emperor worship, and the pinnacle of humanistic achievement at that time, these wooden images. And Pilate washed his hands of him and sent him to the cross. My friends, Hab didn't know his name, but we do. His name is King Jesus. He came and he died so that we who believe in him will live to see one day, even if it means that we have to be resurrected, according to 1 Corinthians 15, that God will have his day and victory will be his. On top of all that, our king will share with us all that he was going to take back. After all, it's been made clean at that point, and it all will be used to declare God's glory in all of creation. Listen to me, because maybe you're watching this and you are laughing. And maybe you're watching this and you don't know God. Don't get lost here. Woe to all who don't call on his name for salvation. For you are defeated already and you don't even know it. If you refuse him, your place will be in hell. And there is no enjoyment in hell. It's not a party because Jesus gives meaning to life. He's not there. It's eternal torment. Victory, as you will see, my family, has already been sealed by his work on the cross. Now the world will witness again next week why we rejoice that our King is alive. The grave could not hold him. Death, the devil and demons have been defeated by him. And what we endure now is just a bite of a dying serpent. Today, my family, worship the King. What Jesus will accomplish as we remember this Holy Week. And look forward to that day when all will be made right again by his mighty hand. We know the end. Woe to them who do not heed the words of our God today. Let us pray. And Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being the Almighty. Thank you for being just who you are, higher than any other power that there is. Lord, thank you for showing yourself to your people today who you are. Thank you for showing to me this week that you still reign. Thank you for showing us all that it doesn't matter what happens and what the world declares and what the world tries to tell us is the most pressing news. The most pressing news there is that you live, you reign. You are supreme. And we are but fish caught in a net. We are under thy will. Lord, help us, remind us, convict us that we do not spend time with you as we should. That this week has been set aside. The kids are home, they're on spring break. We got no work to do, Lord, but to praise your name, to read about who you are, to celebrate who you are, to be right with you, Lord, to hear from you. This is our week ahead of us. You have stopped time on Holy Week to remember your victory. God, let this not pass from us. And if you're listening to this today and you do not know the Lord like this, and there is something in your heart, because your brain is recognizing who you need to get behind, because he's the only one that can protect you, he's the only one that can save you, you're absolutely right. You pray to him, you cry out to God for the forgiveness of your sins, you ask him to save you, and he will. And then you pursue him. Pursue him with the church. Pursue him with some body of believers that believe in him for salvation. That's what you do. It's not rocket science. It's not some prayer formula we got to do. God, forgive us for what we've made this awkwardness of religiosity. So, Lord Jesus, forgive us of our weakness. Forgive us of our failings. Look past our faults again. And come and make us alive. So we may follow you and through our relationship with you may show the world what they're missing. And we pray this in Jesus' name and all God's people said. Amen. So right now as we go to communion, we're going to keep doing communion, even though you're there, we're here, Bill, Steve, and I are here. We're going to keep doing communion together and celebrate what he's done. It would be inappropriate not to, even though we're by distance not together. So again, if you've not been baptized, if you've not proclaimed your faith in Christ by the public act of baptism, and this is not for you right now. That's your first step. But if you have, and you have your elements ready, and next week, it's okay, you can join us next week, especially on Easter, right? Come partake of the elements. The first thing we do is we have this bread. So obviously, this is, just so you know, this is stale bagel bread. Bill blessed it, right? But with 6 feet apart, though. So did you touch this? Okay, so this is his bread that represents his body that was broken for us. I just read to you all the things that he endured by evil men's hands. It is the symbol of what has happened in the beginning of the woes to the world. It is the life that he lived perfectly for you. Go ahead and take this and remember him. This is the cup of the new covenant. Holds grape juice. In heaven it'll be wine. I hope you like it. We take this because this represents his blood of the new covenant. This blood that paid for our sins. This blood that was the new blood that represents our new relationship with God that included the Gentiles, right? That includes us, so that right now we have Easter. We celebrate what he did. So we take this and remember again the payment that was made for us to make us his people. Let me pray for us, and then we've got one more song to sing today. Father, we thank you so much for your son. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your work. Your ongoing, steady-handed, never-changing, because your character never changes, work. Your ongoing salvation. And we remember you today. Lord, help us to now worship, not just in song, but all of life, remembering that victory has already been won. We love you, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can compare. King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore Him.
All right, family, as we get ready to leave today, I'm leaving. You're staying where you're at. I got to get back home. Just remember this week, love to have you join us in prayer. Don't feel bad if you can't make it, but we got two nights, Monday, Friday night. We'd love to have you join us in prayer. Be great to hear you, or just be on there so you can hear the prayers of your people. Be encouraged by that. Wednesday night, we're going to have a devotion again. We're going to look a little bit more into that night of Jesus' trial and preparing us for Good Friday. So we'd like to invite you to that. And as well, if you need anything, please don't take an offense. If Bill and I don't call you, look, we're calling a lot of people. We're taking care of a lot of things. You call us if you need something too as well, because we love you, all right? So let me now close this out today with a benediction, all right, as we normally do. We'd love to see you all go in the name of the Father, whose character we can trust, ensuring that He will be victorious. All will be made right, my people, and we will all see that day. Believe that. Go in the name of the Son, Jesus, that endured the most tragic of lives so that we could be saved, enabling us to receive joy from seeing His victories. And go in the name and the power of the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes to the ultimate victories in the future while helping us live out those promises right now. We love you. Have a good week. Take care.